we started this, again, I keep repeating this, but we started this line of messages last September. Amen? We're almost a year on it. And it was all about preparing for the coming storm. Amen? We don't know what the storm could be. We don't know when it could hit. We don't know how terrible it's going to be. But there are storms in life. And the worst part for most Christians are they're not prepared for when it comes. And they're caught unawares. They have no idea what to do, where to turn, what to say. And we continue to fall farther and farther away from where God intended us to be. When Jesus was in the boat and the storm came, the apostles started crying, "Don't you care?" Anybody been in a storm and all of a sudden you said to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you see what's happening with my life? This isn't good." But God hasn't left us, hasn't forsaken us. And what it seems to us like he might be asleep, he's already prepared a way to set us free, to bring us through the storm. He's not always necessarily going to take us out of it. But there can be a peace in the midst of the storm. Amen? And that's the thing that you want to look for. Get your eyes off of the storm, just like Peter when he walked on the water. He was great until he got his eyes on the storm. More of us will look to the storm than they will to the Lord who will deliver them in the storm. Or maybe out of the storm, however he chooses to do it. But if you're in the storm, there's lessons to be learned. Oh, the best lesson I can give you in the midst of a storm is don't complain and don't murmur. Come in the middle of the storm, it'll only draw you farther and farther into the depth of the sea of despair. There is a way to walk on that water. And when the storm comes, you don't have to be caught. When we started this message, I never thought I'd get the storm. I thought it was one of you. It ain't mine. It's yours. But I've learned so much in the battle ahead. Ahead and now. Because it doesn't stop just because it's at this point. It goes on. But I don't have to be caught up in it. I don't have to be overpowered by it. People say to me, and don't take this wrong, "Oh, you're so amazing," or "You're all this." No, I'm not. I tell people all the time, it's not me, it's the Christ in me. This, I died with him on the cross. It's Christ in me. It's able to do what I do. You understand that? Then they say, "Well, you let him do it through you." No. He's stronger than I am. Amen. He's stronger than I am. Thank God he is. Amen. I have just learning, and I haven't fully got there yet. I'm learning to yield to his will. I'm learning to yield to his will. Amen. Learn to yield to it. Don't kick against the goat. Don't fight against it. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Amen. He's preparing his bride. He's preparing his bride. He wants to dress you in the finest of gowns. Of gowns, the robes of righteousness. Purity and holiness. He's coming back for his bride. The only way he gets glory on this earth is when his bride shines. He gets no glory when you guys are going through terrible things in your life. He gets glory when you shine in the midst of the darkness. When your light, as small as it might be at the moment, brings a little bit of clarity to the darkness that's trying to enfold you and cover you. He's preparing his bride. Get ready. Get ready. He's coming. He's coming soon. Sooner than we think. Sooner than we know. I was reading an article, and actually, here's the title of it. In U.S. Evangelical Capital, a new progressive and differing views of Israel. In other words, they went out and started talking to, as far as I can tell, one person. And they did an in-depth interview. And it comes out of, let's see, I don't even know if I got the name of this thing. It's out of, I don't know, I don't have the name of it anymore. I kind of erased it because it was so stupid. But and it was a newspaper. And he was saying, talking to somebody, he said, oh, well, when I came in, got saved, and that was during the 70s or 80s, someplace in there, he said, I believed in the return of Christ. I believed that Israel was a signpost to watch, and I believe all that, but now I really don't believe that anymore. He said, I've waited so long that I kind of lost. And I'm sitting there reading, and I'm going, I want you to know this is the church. Well, that's only one small sample of it, but you would be surprised out here. I was talking to someone from another church in the village, and I was saying to him, you know, we were talking about things, and I mentioned something about what God says about homosexuality and things like that. I wasn't putting it down. I was just explaining, this is what he says, not what I say. I don't say those things. And he said, well, in our church, we just like to love everybody. I said, love them, but tell them the truth. If you love them, you will tell them the truth. Yeah, but they don't like the truth. Of course they don't. Nobody likes medicine they need. Amen? But that's what their idea of love is. Oh, just accept them the way they are. No. God didn't accept us the way we are. He accepted us because he saw what we can become. Do you understand that? Yes, he loved us and he saved us right in the midst of our sins and the worst of our lives. Yes, he did come to us. But it's because he knew where you were going to end up. Do you understand that? God sees the beginning before the end. He sees it a whole line. I told you last week, I said, we see on a circle, we see one dot right here at this time. That's why we can't judge them. We don't judge them. We can love them, but we love them by telling them the truth. And if they want deliverance, we're there to support them. And it might take a time for them to break through these things. But we're not going to kick them to the curb just because they're whatevers. We're going to love them with the truth. And now we're looking at these things and what's being said and you know, people are saying, well, we're reconsidering all these things now. We're reconsidering Israel, if it's really all the same thing God's saying and all this stuff. And so I'm listening to it and I'm reading it. And then all of a sudden I decide, what is this newspaper? And I looked it up. It's a left-wing newspaper. It's a progressive newspaper. That's what it says. Left of center, progressive newspaper. So be careful what you read. Know what you're reading. Amen? Because it's easy. Their deception is out there rampant. You base your truth on the Word of God and nothing else. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm done with that. I just want to bring that, because there's so many of this stuff out there. It's so rampant. And they call themselves evangelical Christians. I'm not going to say whether they're saved or not, but I'll tell you what they are, deceived. Deception is rampant out there. Only God knows whether they're saved or not. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. This morning, go with me into Matthew. Matthew 13. That's where I want to go. So we started this journey on preparing for the storm. And one of the ways that we prepare. And let me back up a little bit. When When the apostles were in the boat with Jesus, they just came out of watching Jesus perform miracles upon miracles. And they got in the boat, and Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." When the first thing Jesus said to them was, "Oh, ye of little faith." What was the problem here? They'd seen Jesus. Even the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees knew that Jesus was from God, because when Nicodemus went to him, he said, "We know," meaning the other scribes and Pharisees, "we know that no man can do this unless God is with them." Even the non-believers knew that God was with him. So here's Jesus in the boat, and yet they still had a problem believing that God was with him. Now when they woke up, they woke him up, and he calmed the storm. The first thing they said is, "What manner of man is this?" It amazed them that the man who raised the dead, fed the thousands, it amazed them that he was able to do these things. And yet, how many of us are amazed that he does things? Look at Matthew 13. I want to start right here. Let me start verse 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables," Jesus is speaking, because it's in red. "Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." Today in the church, we have people like that. When I opened up in prayer this morning, the first thing I did was ask God to what? Open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, and open our hearts that we may receive. How many people today in the church that you know of don't hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking? Can't see what he's doing, and their hearts are so dull of disbelief that they can't receive what God said he would do for them. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to come to speak to us, to show us, and to give to us. That's what it's here for. But if our hearts has grown dull, and it's just about whether I go to church or not on a Sunday morning, and the rest of the week is taken up with you, without any consideration of what God is trying to get across to you, your heart's probably grown dull already. And you've gotten to a place where you can't hear, you can't see, and even if the Spirit of God is moving, you don't move. It's like that old story. The guy is up on the roof. There's a flood all around him. And God sends a boat to him to take him off the roof. And he says, "Oh, no, I'm waiting for God to save me." So then that boat leaves. And then another thing comes and something else. "Oh, no, I'm waiting for God to do something." God's been trying, but they don't see, they can't hear, and they're so dull of heart, they can't see the hand of God trying to give them what they need. They have made decisions based on their will and the way they perceive God, rather than who he is. This is an uplifting message, by the way. Just, I thought I'd get it to you, you know. Amen. I mean, come on now. How many of us really? I mean, seriously. Remember the servant with Elijah. He said, hey, we're surrounded by an enemy. So he prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Paul, in his writings in Ephesians 1, he prayed for the church. I'm always amazed at his prayers, because you would think that his prayers, he's praying for the church. You'd think he's praying for the lost. He's not. He's praying for the church. So that means the church is having a problem. Right? He says, Father, I pray that you give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Why? They're saved. You can be saved and still have no knowledge. Knowledge is power. Matter of fact, go into, I think it's Psalm 27. Yeah, that's where I'll go. I'll go there, even though that's not where I want to go. But we'll go there. That's a good one, too. Remember what we're talking about. We started this whole thing by building the house on a rock, right? Hallelujah. That's not where I want to be. Let me see something. I wrote down something wrong, probably. But I'll tell you anyways what it says. No, that's not it. That's not the one I want. How come? Oh, that's why. I forgot the one before it. Let's try 127. I can't read my own writing. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Psalm 127 says this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is the house where the Holy Spirit dwells. How many of you know the Holy Spirit doesn't just live in any old house? He's called holy. Before he moves in, he's going to clean up the house. Right? He's not going to come into a dirty house and dwell there. That's why a sinner, he won't dwell in a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ has to clean it first, then he comes and dwells in it. It's the work of the blood of the Christ who cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Glory to God. When you accept the blood of the Lamb, so what happens? The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. All right? Because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. Amen? Serious business here, because he is coming back soon. It's serious business that we recognize who dwells within us and who is our benefactor. Who's the one that takes care of us? Who's the one who provides for us? Who's the one who keeps us? The Holy Spirit of God. He is our seal, the proof of your salvation and your eternal life in heaven is the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Not because you said something. Amen? Because the Bible tells us, unless you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So just the confession out of your mouth has no power. It's the heart. And when you confess that and you believe in your heart, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses out the mess. And the Holy Spirit says, now I can come in and dwell in there. Woo! Now you're a temple worth living in. Amen? Amen? It has nothing to do with the outward works of your flesh. It has all to do with the inward work of the heart. Amen? Hallelujah. So, we are now the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? He said, unless Jesus builds the house, we build it in vain. Jesus knows exactly how to take your house and make it worth using for his glory. Amen? You're not going to do it. Now, you can ignore him, and that's when your heart starts growing dull. You can pretend that it doesn't matter what you do, when you do it, or how you do it. God still loves you and everything's fine, which is true. God will always love you. The fine part might be a little sketchy, but he loves you. Amen? And he is willing that none should perish. He wants you to know that he has given you everything you need for a good and godly life. Everything is already prepared for you. Amen? But it's not in the place where you think it is. It's in the place where he laid it, and it's up to you to follow his direction to get to it. You can work your heart off in this world and get the things of this world. You really can. Amen? Nobody will stop you. And you'll get all the glory and all the praise for it. And all the world will come to you because they like the glitz and glamour that you've got. But as soon as you go down in flames, which you will sooner or later, they all do, they'll be the first ones to leave you. But Jesus will always be there to pick you up. He won't forget you. So it's better to stay with him. Let him finish the work that he's prepared and started with you and with me, with all of us. So in the end, when you stand before the master, he looks at you and he says, man, I did a pretty good job, didn't I? I did this for me. I made your life what it was for me. Your life should glorify him. Go with me into Proverbs 24. Verse 3, through wisdom a house is built. What did Paul pray? Give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The greater knowledge you get of God, the Bible says there's a greater peace and grace that comes into your life. Amen? The more knowledge you gain of him, and he's not talking about head knowledge here, it's heart knowledge. It's heart knowledge. In other words, people can say, yeah, I know. But as soon as the storm comes, it shows it doesn't really necessarily mean it's true. Amen? Think about it. When things don't go the way the Christian thinks they do, yeah, this doesn't work. I'm not even going to bother with it anymore. It doesn't work. Just like that guy. He forgets that it said in 2 Peter 3, in the last days, scoffers will come, and they will say, oh, nothing's changed since our father's been here. Nothing's changed, he said, since the 70s and 80s. So why should I continue to believe? Let's change my belief system because it doesn't fit my narrative and my lifestyle I have this year. And we do that. The church brings up things, and they got to have lattes in the back. They've got to have one place. The guy bought up a motorcycle, and they were so amazed. Look at how wonderful this pastor does such a great mess. He bought a motorcycle in and did a message off the motorcycle. I was impressed. Really? No, I'm serious. Then they have these great big mammoths, you know, things, you know, real animals and all this stuff up front and all this stuff. I'm not saying it's bad stuff. But you didn't come here to be entertained. We're not an entertainment troupe here. If the worship was the best people that was in the music ministry throughout the whole world, we got the best musicians, we had the most money to pay for them, there would be no greater anointing than what we have right now. We've got the best because God put this together. You understand? Don't be impressed on the outward signs of people and things going on. Understand something with God. Not everything is perfect in this life the way we want it to be. There's sacrifices that have to be made. There's price that has, and the cost has to be made and paid for. Jesus paid for your salvation. But Paul says, I finished the work that Jesus began through my suffering. The Bible also tells you that you, you're not going to like this one. So Jesus, through his suffering, learned obedience. If Jesus learned obedience through his suffering, why do we continue to run away from it? God is trying to do something. In your suffering, you will find a much greater relationship with Jesus than in your good times. You'll lean more on him. You'll seek his comfort more. You'll seek his strength more. I'm telling you, the greater the suffering, the greater teaching is being done. Does anybody like to suffer? No! Nobody wants to suffer. We want everything to be just wonderful. The church in America, we just praise God because we are perfect in all our ways and everything's perfect and we're going to be rich and famous and we're going to sell all kinds of books and CDs and tapes and we're then going to heaven and we're going to get all our blessings up there too. While the rest of the world is dying and being crucified for their faith in Christ. Ain't going to happen, my friends. Not the way it works. He said, they rejected you, they're going to reject you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. The only thing in hope you have is you keep your mouth shut and don't mention his name. And then he said something like this, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. God's got an answer for everything. Yes. Amen. And so in the end, look at the as Paul said, that temporary persecution I'm receiving is nothing compared to the glory that's awaiting me. There's a glory awaiting us that far outweighs the garbage that's down here. Well, why can't I go home to people? Because it ain't your time. You haven't fulfilled your purpose yet. You've got a reason for being here. Don't be in a hurry to get there. You'll get there soon enough. Either by the rapture or by the grave. Either way, we're all going. Amen? That's just a fact. And let's put it this way. We were talking the other day. I said, I'm ready. I'm more ready now than I was before. Come on now. I'm ready. Well, you just want to get out of here because, no. That is one big reason. But the closer I get to him, the more I want to be with him. And that's, listen to me when I tell you this. Jesus is doing that, not me. You understand? That's not me. Don't look at me, oh, you're just so holy, you're so good. No, I'm not. I'm just somebody who loves the Lord, and the reason I love him is because I got nothing else right now except him. And heaven forbid that something else would come into my life that would separate me in any little bit from him. Because he is my life. He is my hope and my dream. I talk to him all day long. I talk to him every place I go. I'm turning radio off more, turning TV off more, turning everything off more just to talk and listen. I want to hear what he's got to say to me. Oh, that's the next thing he said. Those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Not what I'm saying. not what other people say. We're too caught up in listening to other people. It's time to be still and hear the voice of God. He's got something to say to you. He's got something to say to all of us. He wants to talk to you. Amen? Don't be dull of hearing what the Spirit is speaking. Oh, I've never heard His voice. Yes, you have. If you're born again, you heard His voice. And His voice is still speaking to you. But you need to be still. Find a place to get alone with Him. Well, that's hard. I got four kids and a family. And yeah, it is hard. You might have to get up a half hour earlier. Well, I get up at 5 now. God's been waking me up 4 o'clock every morning now. Every morning. I talk to Him every morning, 4 o'clock. He's doing it, not me. I'd sleep till 6, but He's waking me up. Why? Because He's building a house that can withstand the storms. Amen? We were talking, Nancy here, we're talking. There was a time when Willie, those who were here with Willie Carmichael and Genevieve, his wife, and a storm came, and we had a generator. They were able to come to the house, and he spent, I think, almost 3 days there. Like, you didn't want to leave. You had it too good. That's it. Listen to me. The generator was a power source that enabled everything to function in the storm. There is a power source that is operating in your life. They'll keep everything functioning, even in the storm. Nancy just said it. When you get hooked to that power source, you don't want to leave. You want to stay there. It's good. It's good. God is good. Amen? God is good. So listen. And I know it's tough. The prophet was up in the cave and the Spirit of God came and said, what are you doing up here? He was hiding out. It's not the time to hide out when bad things are happening in your life. Amen? Don't hide out in caves, in your houses, in your places. I don't want to be around people. I don't like what's going on. Don't. That's the enemy working in your life. I said it last week, and I said it the week before, I think. When I said you gave him a black eye by being there. Then I said last week, you were dancing on his grave. The devil likes nothing better to separate you from the body when you're going through a tough time. That is when you're most vulnerable. That's when you're most weak. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Never forget that. Where two or more agree on any one thing in Jesus' name, it'll come to pass. Don't forget that. You're as much a part of the body of Christ. Now, whether you choose to be here or wherever you choose to be. But I warn you this, be where God wants you to be. You understand that? You've got to be where God wants you to be. I don't care what anybody says or whatever's going on. Trust me. Amen? You've got to be where... I've learned this over the years. I'm sitting here in Nassau, New York. There's so many other places I think would be better suited for me. The only thing I'm concerned is I might be down in Africa someplace or Alaska up in the cold where the Eskimos are. God says, okay, you want to go someplace? No, I'll stay right here. I said, stay right here. No, but you want to be where God wants you to be. He said, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Not those who go and expect the Spirit to follow them. He doesn't. Amen? He doesn't. That's why it's critical to be where God wants you to be. And when you're led by the Spirit, you'll be exactly where God wants you. Sometimes He leads you and you say, this can't be God. I shared many times with you when we were taken out of New Testament. Love that church. Love the pastor. Love the people. They're our family. And I'd have to take Maalox. That was before there was Tums. And, well, no, Tums were around, I think, but I was using Maalox anyway. Literally. And I was the assistant pastor in the place to go into the place because I would go with an upset stomach all the time for the last 2 years. And I swore that was me or the devil. I couldn't understand. I couldn't conceive. I couldn't in any way understand it. I do now because God was leading me. He was going before me. That's why the ministry here has always been here. For 20-some years now. 25 next year, right? We're going to have a party, right? Come on. Are we? Who's doing the party anyways? Somebody said they were going to. Don. Don and Dee. That's right. Amen. We're still having our party, guys. Amen. Yeah. Okay. And then back to reality. Okay. So have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We got to listen to Him. He'll warn you of things to come. He will reveal. You can read the scriptures all you want, but until the Holy Spirit brings revelation to you, it's just words. What changes us is when, that's when Mary was there, and the angel came to Mary, and Mary said to Mary, "Hey, Mary, God wants to use you." And he explained to her what was coming. Mary said, "Let it be done according to your word." Then the Holy Spirit came and brought life to the word and produced in the natural. That's exactly how he still operates. He takes the word. You get a hold of the word. Now you say, "Holy Spirit, let it become life to me." And then it produces in the natural. It works. But don't ever doubt. Because with Mary, there was great persecution on her life from that. She was rejected by people, almost rejected by Joseph. People reject you. When you stand and you say, I'm believing God's word. And the Holy Spirit's producing in me that life right now. It's going. Watch it. You'll see the fruit of your faith produced in the natural. It works. What happens with us is we start, we stop, we get confused, we forget, we go on, we think it doesn't work. Go into Mark 4 and read it. Go into Mark 4 and read about the seed and the sowing of the seed. You come to understand that when God speaks, there's life in that word. Amen? And the Holy Spirit takes that life and produces in you. You've got to have ears to hear. What's he saying? He said, if you can believe, all things are possible if you can believe. All things. We're going to glorify him because the bride is going to be adorned in the glory. Jesus said in John 17, "Father, the same glory you gave to me, I gave to them." You have the same glory that was on Jesus, on you. Figure that one. Get that one. Get a hold of that one. You're going to find out. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians 1. Go there with me. So, what are we asking for, Father? We thank you, Jesus, as you're producing in us the life. He said, unless I build a house, you build it in vain. Jesus, you're building the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're working in us. Let me also say this to you. If somebody comes to you and says, "Listen, I got this revelation, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God," throw it away. Best of all, not even to listen to it. Because there's a lot of people out there. Listen, if I can come up with something new, I can sell you a book. If I can sell you a book, I can make a lot of money. There's only one book you need. Well, yeah, but they explain things to it. You'd be surprised what the Holy Spirit will explain to you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with pastors and teachers and prophets, evangelists. They're all there for the edifying and the building up of the body. Yes, we are. But the Bible tells us you have one teacher. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. And because you have the Holy Spirit of God, and I bring you a word that's my word and not his, your Holy Spirit should jump up right there and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've told you this before. You've got a problem with what I'm bringing, you come and talk to me. Amen? Don't jump up in the congregation and say, yeah, that's a lie. Don't do that. Make a fool out of yourself. You will. Amen? When you got something, you go to somebody. That's what the Bible tells you to do. Let's discuss it. And if I can't prove it through the Scriptures, I'll stand in front and say, this person was right. I'm not ashamed to do that. I've done it before. I've admitted when I've been wrong. That I think I was wrong. Once, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
I think so. Once in a while. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, look at this. Ephesians 1. We're going to start in, where am I? Oh, here I am. Okay. Verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, listen to this. Amen. They're operating in faith. They're operating in love. What else do we need? Look what he goes on to say. He said, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, it's great you've got faith. It's great you're operating in love. But now, let's get a divine quickening in your heart. That you, the revelation isn't just, okay, now I know there's a God. The revelation comes with the knowledge of the greatness of your God. The awesomeness of your God. Amen? Because we talk about Jesus as our friend. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about God. And we say it so offhandedly. We just say it casually. Even the Jews knew better. They wouldn't use his name. They didn't use God's name. They used letters. Because they were fearful of offending him and saying it wrong. Remember what one of the Ten Commandments was? What? Do not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And so they were so concerned about doing that that they would just use letters to signify God. But we take him so for granted. We're so casual about talking about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. It just flows out of us. We're not talking about the creator of the heaven and earth. We're not talking about him in a way that just mesmerizes us. When we even have we have the ability to talk about him. That's an amazing thing. Do you understand? The only one who has the power to kill you and send your soul to hell. And we take him like, yeah, thank you, God. Why don't you think about the reverence we should have, the awesome reverence we should have with him. Think about it for a moment. It's not to say that you should be fearful of him and, oh, I can't go to him and all this. No. We do. Like I said before, I'll say it again. He said, come boldly into the throne room of grace. But that boldness comes through a relationship with him that you have established over a period of time with him. It takes time to build relationship. The good news is, He's doing most of the work. Matter of fact, he's doing all the work, really. We're just saying, yeah, okay. When you're ready to go in and you need prayer, and you need to prepare yourself to go into Him. Amen? Prepare yourself. Get along with Him. Maybe you need prayer, so you come in here on a Sunday or Wednesday, you need prayer, or our prayer night on Friday, the first Friday of the month, and you really want to come in. How about trying to fast that day? I know you got to work, but do the best you can. Do something to prepare yourself to come in to receive prayer. Don't be so casual about it. I don't know about you. I had, when I was in college, I had a chance to go speak to Erastus Corney. Anybody remember him? Mayor Corney? I didn't live in Albany. I lived in East Greenbush. But I could go. I called him up, said, I want to come in and talk to you. Went in, he gave me about an hour and a half to 2 hours just sitting and talking. I prepared myself before I went in, though. I just didn't casually walk into his office and say, good thing you opened that door for me. I would have kicked it in. Amen. I honored him, even though people said he was whatever. He was a mayor. I gave him respect for his office that he held. It's the same thing with God. How much respect do we give Him? How much time do we spend preparing to go into His presence? Because when He lets you in, that's a great honor. You understand that? It's a great honor that God Almighty allows to come into His presence. I'd rather be in His presence than the Queen's. Amen. I look forward to that wedding more than I do. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even look at the other one. Now, praise God for them, and God bless them, and I hope they have a wonderful marriage. But I hope they get saved more than I care about the marriage. All right, let me go back here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Amen. How are you going to get this? By the Spirit. It doesn't happen. How do you get it? By the Spirit. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You're going to have an earnestness about a desire to really come to that place. A divine revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of Him. Listen, let's see if I got it written down here. I think I might, then again I might not. The wisdom builds the house. Wisdom builds the house. Okay? So He's asking you to get divine wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Wisdom builds the house. Understanding, let me finish this out. Understanding establishes the house, and knowledge fills the house with all pleasant things. What did He say? As you increase in knowledge of Him, you increase in grace and peace. The best thing you can have in your house is grace and peace. The greater grace, the greater favor of God, the greater peace when a storm is hitting you. You look out the window and say, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your heart, of your spirit man. Amen. We live too much by these. not enough by these. Your spirit man has eyes. Your spirit man has a mouth. Your spirit man has ears. When he said those who have ears to hear, he's talking about your spirit man, not this man. Hallelujah. Because it's the power of the spirit. When the spirit man is built by God, by Jesus, the power of the spirit man will control the outer man. You understand? Because it's a spirit man and the Spirit of God working together in unity, in one accord. When you have that, the outer man will follow. It's when there's a division inside the house and there's been a divorce. You ever see one of those divorces where they run a tape down the middle of the house and said, that half is yours and that half is mine? Amen? Too many of us have had that. All right? This part I gave to God, but this part, that's mine. A house divided cannot stand. Getting better. But where there's unity, there's power. When you're in unity with the Spirit of God, there's power. It doesn't mean you do everything perfect. It said David did everything according to God's will. You know he didn't. But you know what he did do? When he sinned, he took the offering to the temple and made a sin offering so the sins would be forgiven. When you sin, confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And it's done. Too many of us ignore it. Well, I sinned. God doesn't care. Yes, he does. That's why his son died on the cross and shed his blood, because of your sins. Not just past, but present and future. But the blood only works when we confess our sins to him and acknowledge the fact, and then God can continue to work in us to get us away from those sins and bring us into a place of glory. Hallelujah. I'm always amazed watching people go through things and watch them live by faith and watch how their life is. And you sit there and wonder, you say, how can they do that? Amen. Listen, where am I? How did I get way over here? Okay. Let's go on. Let me finish this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, or the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Remember I told you the same glory that God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to us? There's our inheritance. The glory of God. And the glory of God. We did a whole message on that a long time ago. When Moses was up on the mountain, Moses said, I want to see your glory. What did he want to do? He wanted to see the very essence of who God was. When we operate in the glory of God that Jesus has given us, the world will see who God is. When they saw the apostles, they said to him, these two guys are unlearned, and they were amazed. He didn't have education. But they recognized one thing. They had been with Jesus. We don't have to have degrees. We just have to spend time with Jesus. And then the glory will be seen on us. Not for our benefit, not for us, but for them. Amen? We don't get caught up in that stuff. We know where the glory came from. We know where the power came from. We know all the blessings came from. We know what our life came from. Why? Because we couldn't have done it ourselves. He did it through us, in us. Listen to this. For his good pleasure. It pleases God to bless you. It pleases God to give you good things in your life. It pleases God to keep you from out of harm. He has no pleasure in the death of one of his. Amen? This is your inheritance, is the glory of the living God in your life, knowing you've been called to a higher calling, a different life than the people around you. And that life is the light to those people out there. The more we submit to their darkness, the less your light has effect in their lives. Understand? The more you submit to their darkness, because I don't want to offend them, I don't want to bother them, but they need your light. How will they know the truth unless the truth stares them in the face? It's not to be obnoxious. It's not to, you know, go in there, oh, you're going to hell and all that. No. What you do is share the good news. Jesus loves you. I want you to know that. He died for your sins. And if you say you're not a sinner, you're wrong, because every man sins and falls short of the glory of God. It's not that you're worse than anybody else. It just means that you're a sinner. And the penalty for all sin is death. So if you're not understanding that somebody's going to pay for your sin, it can either be Jesus or you. You choose. I won't argue with you. I won't fight with you. I love you. Simple, isn't it? It is. God didn't make it difficult. Let's go on. Let me finish this. I keep moving my page. All right, I'm done almost. All right. And what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. That power, that generating power, the dunamis, it's called dunamis in the Greek. And that dunamis is where we got our word dynamo from, or dynamite. Because it's so much power, it can not only produce light in your life, it can destroy that which is trying to destroy the light. That's what it is. When we come to understand why the Holy Spirit's in our lives, if there's something going on in your life and you seem to be under the battle all the time, stand up. Be still. Know that He's God. And God is dwelling in you. As long as you're born again, that same power that brought Christ up from the grave is dwelling in you. But what do I do about it? Be still, listen, and then do it. Do what? Whatever He tells you to do. When Jesus was in the Cana and he went to the wedding feast, you remember that story? He went to the wedding feast and he was sitting there with the rest of the guests. And they were running out of wine. And they came to Mary and said, hey, we're running out of wine over there. Mary went and told her son. His name was Jesus. And Mary said to Jesus, hey, they're running out of wine. Jesus looked at Mary and said, woman, what's that got to do with me? That's nothing for me. That's not my business. So then they came to Mary and said, Mary, what are we going to do? Mary said, do whatever he tells you to do. Well, just a moment ago, he said, no, that's none of his business. What made the difference? What changed? The Spirit of God spoke to him. Said, Jesus, it's time to show them who I am. He said, I am. How will they know who it is that sent me? Tell them, I am sent you. Jesus was told by the Spirit of God, it's time. Because that was the first place a miracle was performed by him. It was time to show the world who he is. My friends, it's time to show the world who he is. We shouldn't have to be doing it in here. We shouldn't have to prove who he is in here. We shouldn't have to prove to each other who he is in here. But the world needs it. The world needs it. And God has prepared you for such a time as this. I told you, this is our time. How much time we have, I don't know. Whether the rapture or whether we go by the grave, however, we don't know. But now's our time. Let the glory of the Lord arise. Let me finish with this. I like that scripture so much, I'm going to do it. I could spend hours on this. I could probably spend days on it. But I'm not going to, because we have communion. And you'd shoot me. Hallelujah, wait a minute. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But I don't feel it. I didn't ask you to feel it. I asked you to know it. Because God said it. Well, he's talking to Israel there. How many know that you have been engrafted into the vine? A Jew is not one who's been circumcised outwardly, but one who's been circumcised in the heart. If you've been born again, he removed that. Listen to this. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. Do we have that now? More than ever. And his glory will be seen upon you. The greater the darkness, the greater the light. The greater the glory. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. In other words, if you're about ready to rise up and say, Lord, use me. Let me be your light. Let me, the glory of the Lord be seen upon my life. If you're ready for that, he'll bring people to you. You don't have to search them out. They'll come to you. You understand that? He's telling us. They'll come to you. You know how many people are hurting out there? They don't know your God. They don't know the God that dwells within you. They don't know the power of the Spirit of God that's in you. They don't know it. That's why they're not in here. But when you go out there and start showing them, and they say, where's all this come from? Come on back. I want to show you what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. Well, why can't they go anyplace? Because I just read why you shouldn't send them anyplace. There's a whole head of a church right now who says there's no hell. That same person said your good works is good enough to get you into heaven. And there's billions of people who follow him. You want that for your people that you're talking the truth to? You better be careful. Oh, you're just mean. No, I'm telling the truth. I'm not making anything up. The devil's a liar and a deceiver. And he'll come and just come as an angel of light. He'll look good, sound good. Oh, yeah, he loves everybody. Yeah, he loves everybody go to hell. Amen. You have the glory of God. You have the light. You have the Holy Spirit working in your life. Get ready. Get ready. God's going to use you. All you have to say is, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Amen? That's all it takes. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the grace given to us. We thank you for the mercy shown to us. We thank you, Lord. What a great and awesome God we serve. We praise you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.